Let's pray. Our Father, as we open your word together today, we pray that by your grace, you just help us to see things more clearly than we have in the past. We were challenged in Sunday school this morning to live in the real. And Lord, we need to do that. We need to just sit back and understand where we are in history, what our place is, what you're doing. Take confidence in that and rest in it while we participate as you have asked us to do. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see that this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't think that my assignment that I have given myself today is unachievable. We're going to look at four particular portions of Scripture this morning that talk about the big picture of where we are. And it is appropriate for us to do this at the Christmas season because we are celebrating one of the most glorious events in history. For you know the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he's rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. God had focused on this period of time ever since the creation of the world and before, that man would be redeemed by the work of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And for that reason, he was born in Mary's womb and apart from any kind of natural conception. And he was established as the Redeemer of the race. And he's going to come in the future to be the King of our world. And what a wonderful reality that is. And we need to speak of it just in those terms of reality. And we're not getting religious about it. We're just getting right about it. And we need to do that. In our memory verse for this week is out of Hosea chapter 14 and verse 9. And it says, "Who is wise? And he shall understand these things." And that's just what I'm poking at this morning. Who is wise? And who will understand these things? These very simple but profound things. Who is wise and shall understand these things? Prudent. And he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but transgressors shall fall therein. And we see that all around us. That as we have the privilege to walk and honor God with our lives today, there are so many who are falling by the wayside. And their lives are just being squandered, you know, on some nasty things, you know, like drugs and alcohol like that. But there's also those common things that just swallow up people's lives, like materialism and pleasure and those kind of things. And they're all lost in these things when they ought to be serving the Lord. And we're going to walk this morning from Oberlin to Bear Hat. And you got to keep your attention on where you're going. Coming down Oberlin is not an easy task. The path is narrow in very places. In many places, the rocks are loose. You could slip and you could fall. And then you get down into the valley there, and you need to be sure that you keep Oberlin behind you and keep Bear Hat ahead of you and walk that direction so you don't end up going over to Heavy Runner or some other mountain where you don't want to go, you know. And the people in this world are just going to the wrong place, you know, and getting all mixed up, you know, and pausing along the trail. Oh, did you see that goat? Oh, that's a neat goat, you know. And, well, we see those things and we enjoy them, but we don't get distracted by those things as God's children. We keep our goal in mind, and that's the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and what a great and grand and glorious day that will be. So we're going to look at these things together this morning. And if you come with me to Revelation chapter 4, I want you to see verse 1. "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven." That after this, you know, I had a chat this guy down here, Wilson. Myron. Oh, it was just gone, Myron. It was just gone. About the divisions of the book of Revelation, and I would love to have him preach on that for us. You know, we have some special gifts around us here that we just need to take more advantage of. But as I understand this, as we come to this particular point in the book of Revelation, John has talked to us about the age of the church. And we have those seven churches of Revelation, and all of the intricacies and the challenges and that about living in that church age. And that's down between Oberlin and Bearhead. Those are the days that we're living in that valley. And he says, but after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And John is saying, now we're going to look forward to Bearhead. This is what's coming. And he says, and the first voice which I heard was that of thunder and talking with me and said, come up hither, and I will show you the things that must be hereafter. So here are the things that were before, okay, Oberlin, and here are the things that will be thereafter, Bearhead, and we're in between those things. And John is pointing that out to us. And we really need to see that. How many of you can remember your first trip to Glacier National Park? Many of you, can't you? It was just incredible. I remember seeing it in 1967, and I'd seen paintings and things, you know, and I thought, well, you know, that's just somebody's imagination. And when I literally saw it out, wow, this is incredible. I took my high school friend and roommate, even after high school when we were working in Illinois, Alan Hansen, through the park. He'd never been there before, and we had a little LeBaron convertible. We had the top down. It was a nice day, and this was back in the days when you still carried these video cameras and stuff like that, and I'll never forget Alan on that day. He was sitting in that front seat. No, he wasn't. He was standing, and he was videoing. He says, this is incredible. He says, how can anybody not believe in God? So taken by the vastness of all that was there. We need to be taken by the vastness of God's plan. That since the day of creation, He has been planning the redemption of man and the placing of man in the glories of His kingdom for eternity. And He's carrying it out step by step by step. And His clock is always right on time. And we need to sit back and see that. So there in verse 1, we see Oberlin. Now in verse 11 is Bearhead. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things. There are several things in that verse that I want you to see. And the first is, the time of His glory is coming. We use glory, glory, glory. You know, we use that word so much, and I think sometimes you don't pause to understand just exactly what that word means. It means that the time will come when all the world will recognize the reality of God and His greatness and His holiness and His purity and His omnipotence. The time is coming. Paul quoted an Old Testament prophet in the book of Romans. He said, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There are so many today who want nothing to do whatever with God, will even deny His existence, but the time will come. Bearhead's coming, folks. You can't go up there and say, well, there's no such thing as Bearhead. That's just your imagination. Well, you're going to have a hard time getting to the top of your imagination, because that's a big old mountain. And the time is coming when Jesus Christ is returning to this earth, and He's going to receive the glory that's rightfully His. Now there's some other things in this verse that I want you to see. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. For thou hast created most things. A lot of them are mine. No, thou hast created all things. I have quoted this verse again and again as we've been studying the book of Revelation. It's from Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. Thou hast created. It's no small matter that the whole issue of creation is being argued and fought against in these days. And people want to substitute some kind of silly evolution for it. Well, go ahead and do that, but the time is going to come when you acknowledge that God created it. It's His. It is His. This world is not our own. We're just a passing through. It's His. And then I want you to notice, too, that not only has He created all things, but they're created for what? His pleasure. You know, life isn't about us achieving things we want to achieve and gaining the pleasure and the satisfaction we want to get. We are created for His pleasure. These mountains, these wonderful wheat fields, these beautiful rivers and streams, all they're created for His pleasure, folks. But we get all wrapped up in our pleasure. Now, He lets us enjoy it, and that's a wonderful thing, but it's His, and it's all about Him, and we are His. And we need to recognize that. Those are just huge concepts, folks, that you've got to deal with and come to reconciliation with. They've been created for Him. Now come with me to Revelation chapter 12. It's where we're studying presently. And look with me at verse 10 and 11. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God. This time is coming, folks. Here it is prophetically. It's being acknowledged here at about the midpoint of the tribulation period when this earth is under the terrible punishment of the wicked and the unjust. And this judgment is rightfully coming upon this earth. And here at this point in time, Christ takes His throne. Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of His Christ. And one of the things that is connected with this period of time is that the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. During this time, between Oberlin and Bear Hat, God has permitted Satan to be the Lord of the air, the God of this world. And he has been testing and trying and tempting and twisting the servants of God and destroying the earth with his own foolish anger and malice. But the time is going to come when he is cast out. And we're going to look at this more specifically tonight. Is it just what these trials and temptations look like and what Satan's activity is? Last week we looked at it, last Sunday afternoon, in reference to the life of Job. And we're going to look at it tonight in reference to Daniel and what he's doing. But the time is going to come when he's going to be cast down. And verse 11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. That's an important portion of Scripture, folks, because as we begin to unwrap that, we're going to find out that as we're walking down off Oberlin and on up Bear Hat, Here are the principles that make us victorious. These are the things that are essential for us as believers to walk in. And we're going to see the significance of the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. Turn with me then to 1 Peter chapter 4. This is a portion of scripture that talks about our path as we're walking between these two mountain peaks. It says this, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." It isn't an easy walk. It is a hot, searing day up there on the mountain. And we need to arm ourselves for that battle. They've ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Well, on this path, it's not our job to be over here meandering, you know, looking for goats and looking for sheep and things like that. And we need to understand that in this particular part of the country, there are grizzly bears. There was an article in the paper this week, there's more grizzly bears than there's been in 30 years in northwest Montana. And well, you got to keep an eye on those things. They're out there. You got to watch. Stay on the path. You know, that's what this is talking about. It says, verse 3, "For the time past of our life may suffice us who have wrought the will of the Gentiles." We've wandered around and picked huckleberries long enough, you know. When we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, reveling, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. These are things to be put away in this life, not to be caught up in these things. And wherein, that is, the rest of the people on the path who don't know Christ, they think it's strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. This is like Christian in Pilgrim's Progress going through Vanity Fair, you know. And there are all those people calling to him, "Hey, come over here, there's a bunch of huckleberries. Hey, come on over here, we can see some mountain sheep. Hey, come on over here, there's a grizzly bear up there you can see." No, I'm going to Bear Hat. If I need to see those things, I'll see them after I get up there. But right now, that's where I'm going. And as Christians, we need to have that perspective, that we're not going to be caught up in the things of this world. They think it's strange that you run not with them to the same excessive riot, speaking evil of you. "Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead." You see, everybody down in that valley, whether they acknowledge it or not, they're going to give an account for having walked that path the right way. Every one of them. And we can't be pulled off the path by the fools that are there with us. We must be careful about that. Verse 6 says, "For this cause was the gospel preached unto them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit." This is a fantastic verse of Scripture. What's this verse saying? It is saying that when we get up to that mountain and we are judged, and those who have walked the path faithfully are going to be rewarded, those who meandered and wandered around, the judge is going to say to them, "These guys made it. You could have made it. These folks loved and honored me. You could have done it." And part of their condemnation will be the obedience of God's own people. Verse 7, "But the end of all things is at hand." Incidentally, I just might say, that's one of the reasons they don't like you. Because they feel that condemnation upon themselves. All right, where were they? Verse 7, "But the end of all things is at his hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." You know, as you're walking along and you're going to have friends who are with you about making that trip, and they're going to slip on a rock, you know, and they're going to twist a knee or twist an ankle. And, you know, that's when it's time for us to stop and say, "Can I help you? Tell you what, let me carry your pack for part of the way here. And here, use my walking stick, or, you know, if it's necessary, we'll get a couple together and we'll carry you through this next bad part. You know, have fervent charity among yourselves. Those of you who are on the path walking, love one another. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I see that, I think of Sam Hoffman, you know. Here's a guy who, you know, you can talk to, and he'll say, well, now, as you're walking that trail, be careful, because there's a fork up here, and it's going to be really tempting to go off the left, but don't do that. Bear to the right, or you're going to miss the trail, you know. And there are those within the Christian family that just know so much about walking with Christ, you know. And part of it is, you know, Sam knows that because he made the mistake and got on the wrong trail. And so he can warn you about it. And Newt's made some big mistakes. And he knows what trail to walk on now, you know. And these are things that we learn from one another. And the benefit of the family, they're gifts to our family. Verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any minister, let him do as of the ability which God giveth. All right. Now turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to start at verse 1 again. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. You know, as you're walking down this trail, there's going to be those saying, hey, you guys are crazy. It's hot today. Get off the trail. Matter of fact, let's go down here to Hidden Lake and take a little swim and cool off for a while. You're crazy to work so hard getting up bare hat. And they scoff at you for living a Christian life. They're saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the very beginning of creation. He's not really coming again. Things are just like they've always been. You know, I'm amazed at how pointed the scriptures are and how right they are. These are just the things we face today. Verse 5 says concerning these scoffers, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. That's a statement of creation. And they're willingly ignorant of that. They are not intellectually ignorant of that. They know better. But they prefer not to believe it because of its implications. Verse 7 says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of godly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. It's a long hike, folks. And there's been a lot of people, a lot of generations, who have walked through this valley. And it's come upon us right now, and let us walk it faithfully. Verse 9 says, for the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. There's an interesting thing. You know, these folks who are off on the side of the trail, picking huckleberries, watching goats, looking for mountain sheep, watching for bears, that kind of stuff, you know. And the ones who are scoffing and making fun of us, who are walking down the trail and keeping our mind on what we're doing and keeping our backpacks on, you know, sweat's pouring down us. You know what? All those people around there, God loves them. And he's withholding his coming for a particular purpose, to give them an opportunity to repent and be saved. You know, that might be you this morning. You might be one of these people who's just wandering around in this world, enjoying everything you can out of it and trying to forget God as much as you can. Let me say one thing very clear to you. You may be forgetting God, but he hasn't forgotten you. And he's withholding his return to give you opportunity to get saved. Don't waste your time. Verse 10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are in shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Understand, folks, the focus of walking down this path, seeing that all these things are true, his first coming, his second coming, his wonderful compassion for the lost, seeing that all these things are true. How do we respond? By holy, godly living. That's how we respond. Oh, if we could get that just clear and simple in our minds. Let me conclude with this statement today. God has an intricate and perfect plan for the ages. The righteous will walk through these days with confidence and security, resting in the salvation God has provided. There is a group called the inhabitants of the world. In the book of Revelation, it talks about those who care not for the things of God. The inhabitants of the world will walk through these days blindly, stumbling over their own sophistry and arrogance and appetites, at last falling into the eternal precipice of judgment that they have chosen for themselves by their willing exclusion of God. Go back to our memory verse for the week. Who is wise and shall understand these things? Prudent and shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but transgressors shall fall therein. Don't be one of those who has fallen. Be one of those who has stayed on the path and walked faithfully with your God. Let's pray. Our Father, as we begin to celebrate this Christmas season, Lord, help us to see the broad and big picture of it. What a glory it is to celebrate the reality that you have been faithful. You've sent your Son. He paid the penalty of our sins on that terrible cross. He was buried and rose again on the third day and has ascended and gone to heaven to be with you. But Father, we look forward to the glorious reality that soon he will return. And Lord, as we look forward to his return, may we be faithful in living righteous and holy and godly lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.